Hello everyone, and welcome to the Mind Manual Podcast, Episode 1, Beyond the Mind. Hi guys, and welcome to the first episode of the Mind Manual. This podcast will focus on the constructs and workings of the mind and how we can navigate our lives using this amazing tool. And as with any tool, we can use it for ourselves or against ourselves. What a shame we were never handed the instructional manual for it. It's powerful enough to make us or break us, and yet we continue to operate it, oblivious to the way this whole operating system works. These weekly episodes are an attempt to bring you some insights and perspectives on how we can use the mind and put it to work in a way that will serve you and create the results that you want in your life. It will be an unfolding learning journey as we explore this amazing central processing unit to collate and compile a series of systems and perceptions that we can organize into a mind manual for the benefit of everyone. Ironically enough, this first session is going to delve beyond the mind to provide some context and perspective in viewing our mind as merely an instrument or mechanism from which to process the physiological aspects of our body through to the perception of our sensory signals. So we could look at it as the mainframe for how we move through and process this world we live in. What I want you to consider is, who sits behind this computer and operates it? What is the essence of our real nature? This session will attempt to open a window into the source of this energy that gives life to the mind. It's the ability to observe our own thoughts and delve into the workings of the mind that creates a subject-object relationship. Wikipedia philosophically defines a subject as an entity that has a relationship with another entity that exists outside itself, called the object. So a subject is an observer, and an object is the thing being observed. This presents us with the concept that we are not our mind. This consciousness that is aware of the mind, that sits behind and can observe, is referred to as many different names. Regardless of what you call this inner force field, chi, shakti, or spirit, it's an underlying energy that flows through our inner being. Our journey in unraveling the inner workings of the mind will be done from this detached perspective, in keeping this sense of who we really are as being separate from the mind. We are the computer operator, seeking some streamlined instructions and processes that we can put into a manual so that we can become master over our mind. But today, we're here to go beyond the mind, which is to explore the nature of our soul, which is consciousness. Transcending the mind and the body, which are temporal, and tapping into that part of ourselves that extends beyond our physical realm is where we experience true freedom. Freedom from our mental constructs and our physical constraints into pure consciousness that doesn't judge or process. It just is and is immersed in the oneness of life and creation. It's a place of peace. It sits deep in the seat of self and is the path of unconditional happiness with all of life. Going beyond captures the true meaning of spirituality and our current state. Beyond is infinite in all directions. There are no limits, just the infinite universe. Practically speaking, it's going beyond all the physical and mental aspects of our being into pure consciousness of all that is. When we can learn to identify and rest in this part of ourselves that has no judgment or filter or labels or words, but is content to be enmeshed with the nature of life, then we have an easier time in embracing it all and just being content with the momentary experience of it all. There is no resistance or rejection, just allowance and acceptance for what is. This will have you surrendering from the struggle with life, which is suffering, and in balance and at peace with the natural unfolding of life across the full spectrum of extremes and opposites that exist within this realm of relativity and duality. Knowing how to open up to all of it, the good and bad, the light and dark, the ups and downs, the hot and cold, even the rich and poor, will have you joyfully living in the fullness of life and all the variety it has to offer. When we can expand ourselves to take all of it in without thought and judgment and see that nothing has gone wrong through the eyes of unconditional love, we become at peace with what is. This is the space of pure consciousness that is available to us now. Anything we try and overlay on top of that will bring disturbance to us. This is where the mind enters. Our mind will take in a situation, circumstance, or event and process it to try and give you feedback. It wants to get some sense of structure and certainty in order to provide some predictability and keep you safe. This is the primal nature of our mind, equipped with the survival instincts to ensure our species continues. In order to succeed and evolve, we must adapt to our environment. And so it has this job of placing limits on our environment, of what's acceptable and what's not, and what will keep us safe. The unknown is unpredictable, and so it likes to deal with known quantities or constructs. Its job is to avoid pain, conserve energy, and move us towards pleasure in the hope of keeping you safe and building a reserve in your quest to seek that next best thing in moving you through life to the next evolution. And so this primitive part of our mind is primarily concerned with all the processes around survival. If we want anything more than that, we must look to the higher order thinking part of our brain, which is the prefrontal cortex that is involved with higher order functions, such as perceiving, planning, problem solving, and perseverance. But what happens is that often we will experience a disconnect between the two, and we forget that they will also have competing interests. So often we don't give that primal part the context it needs to provide a surety that we aren't physically in danger. And so we keep experiencing a state of panic from this high alert function. During these times, it's helpful to acknowledge that that part of our brain that is just doing its job, we need to remind it that there is no current threat of imminent life-threatening danger. And its concern is noted, but that the higher part of your thinking brain has got this one, and you can proceed as planned with whatever it was you were doing. When you consider our evolutionary beginnings, this fear or panic could take the form of exclusion from the pack, for example, in not being accepted by the social hierarchy, only to be cast aside from the group and left to die, falling prey to the predators who are watching out for the weak on the fringes of the herd. Or it could take the form of creating a sense of urgency in needing to respond to an urge of physical hunger. And if you don't act on it by eating food, you're going to starve to death. There's going to be a whole host of these danger alerts that are all cloaked in fear, designed to grab our attention in the moment. So instinctively, we're going to either shrink and run, stay and defend, or do the thing, such as eat or strive to belong, to quiet the alarm, because we don't like to stay in that fearful or panicked state. But when we can separate ourselves from this function of the mind and quietly observe this survival system that's just been activated as a separate entity from it, that is conscious of the role that it plays, we don't have to lose ourselves in the melodrama of it all, nor do we need to resist it, which only serves in making it all the more real. The key is to remain as a curious, conscious observer that isn't feeding it with our thoughts and this distance will very soon dissolve the effect of the illusion that we're about to die. The whole concept that we are not our mind or our thoughts creates the separation we need to look at our thoughts as objects from the mind and not get taken in by them, in thinking that they're real and believing everything our mind is telling us. Remember, we are the operator of this mainframe, and our thoughts are just the feedback and data that gets projected onto the screen in our mind. But what we'll do is treat them all as facts. Our senses are letting us know we have search results, and they feel so real because we experience them as physical effect or a sensation in the body. But our higher consciousness knows differently. Staying present to this awareness is key in moving through life without getting caught up in the drama of everything our mind will throw at us. It's a very powerful processing unit, and it's going to spit out up to 60,000 thoughts a day. We wonder why we get lost. When we forget and go unconscious, we become a slave to our mind and thoughts. And we don't see the difference between that and who we really are. We collapse ourselves into our mind and go on believing everything it tells us. The process of unraveling this and becoming more and more aware to the workings of our mind and who we really are is the journey of this podcast. So thanks for listening, and tune in next week for another episode of The Mind Manual.